Akrura lived at a time when the great demon Kamsa ruled the earth from the town of Mathura. Kamsa had made all the dynasties. He had fought with the clans of these powerful dynasties, these warriors, and he had defeated every single clan. And because they did not want to become the servants of Kamsa, they all fled in the night. But these powerful warriors and kshatriyas had to hide in caves and dark forests and so on to avoid Kamsa's Nachstellungen, whatever that is in English. Persecutions is the English word, actually. And everyone, every cultured king, there were small kingdoms in India, so each of these Kosala, Vrishni, Andakas, all these powerful clans who were ruling small kingdoms had been defeated by Kamsa and were now in hiding. There were only the Shukadev Goswami describes this, a very small minority of powerful kings and their generals who didn't adopt that strategy. That means to run away. Because if you live in hiding, you cannot have any public activities. You cannot do anything. When I was a little boy, I used to play hide and seek. And, you know, I never liked the position where I had to hide and stay behind a bush, you know, and always worry if someone comes and detects me. It was much better to be in the other role, those who seek. Because the moment you live in hiding, you have no public activities. You can't move freely because everything what you do is seen. I have once there was one disciple of mine who had some unfortunate misunderstanding from the past, where he had been engaged in some very unfortunate misunderstanding. He was attacked with knives, and then somehow he thought, this is unfair, four people against one person. And somehow he was so upset with the whole situation that he took one of the knives, and then the attackers provoked him further, and finally he used the knife on someone and hurt someone very badly. Now, after this strife was over, this nice devotee, he became a very nice devotee after this. He begged forgiveness. He said, I'm sorry, but you attacked me four against one, and I had to defend myself, so I used this. And the boy, you know, who was just bleeding, he said, okay, we did the mistake. But the government did not excuse this person, and it happened in America. And he was always looked for and searched for. He couldn't cross the border to Canada, although he wanted to visit the temples there, and so on. One day he asked me, wrote me a letter and said, what should I do? I'm persecuted by the government. The people have forgiven me already, but I have to live in hiding. What do you think I should do? And I said, better you just report to the government and say, I'm sorry, this and this is what happens. I have this witness. And even if they have to put you for some little time, a month or two, into a house of correction. You don't worry. It's so miserable to live in hiding. You can't cross borders. You can't move publicly. You can't drive a car. You can't. So many things you cannot do. Just get this quickly over with. And the devotee just wrote me a letter from I think Canada and said, I'm sitting here in the house of correction, and it's so nice. I can chant from morning till evening, and thank you very much. And afterwards, when this is over, I can make plans and have very nice kirtan programs all over the country and so on, and move freely. So Akrura thought also it's not good to stay in hiding because something very wonderful will happen. Krishna will appear not far from Mathura, and he will be in the village of Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj. And I will be able to see Krishna with my own eyes. I will see how he comes to this town, Mathura, and how he will confront Kamsa and punish him for his evil deeds. And because I want to see Krishna, I want to have the darshan of Krishna, I want to offer my obeisances to him and touch his lotus feet, because this is my desire. I will not run away. I will not go into caves and hide. What I will do is, I will, so to say, serve Kamsa as his prime minister. And when I'm in that position, I can even help the devotees a little bit secretly. This is my tactic. My dear devotees, Akrura teaches us something very, very nicely, something very important. He was not in good situations for his Krishna conscious practice. In fact, he had to hide that he was a devotee of Krishna. He kept his love inside. He couldn't show it. He couldn't show it. But day and night, he was just thinking, when will I meet Krishna? This motive is the motive of devotees who stay in this material world. Externally, they may be in adverse condition, but internally, they can be connected with Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about this motive, this leitmotif, for the devotees in Krishna consciousness who stay in this world. You might remember, there were Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis who were servants of whom? The Muslim ruler, Nawab Hussain Shah. They were prime ministers. It's exactly the same situation. Ooh. And they wrote Lord Chaitanya a letter asking for advice how to deal with the situation. Lord Chaitanya wrote them back a letter which is so wise, because it gives us the instruction how we should move in our life. He said, now you need to listen very carefully, because this is now a very spiritual language, where one thing is said but another thing is meant. Like the Sufis, Sufi literature, I was drunk all night with the sweet wine. Oops. What they say is not that they just were drunk, they say they stayed up all night and they drank from the cup of love of God. That's what they say. But if you read their literature, you would think, wow, he really broke the principles and so on. But it's not like this. So you have to also now listen to this verse and you have to find out what is he really saying, although he will say one thing. Lord Chaitanya said one thing, but what is he really saying? He might have thought when he wrote the letter, maybe this letter which I'm writing to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami will be caught by the Nawab Hussain Shah, and I must write in indirect language, but to hide what I'm really saying. But I believe there is a verse in the Bhagavatam which says Krishna likes indirect language, you know, where you have to be a little subtle, not so groovy. Not so groovy, I think you understand what that means. So here's a verse for you. If a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will outwardly appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs. But within her heart, she's always relishing feelings of association with her new paramour. That is the new lover. Let us just concentrate on the example. Imagine there is a married woman, God forgive, forbid, and she sees another man whom she becomes totally infatuated with. Infatuated means in Deutsch verknallt. Becomes really absorbed in this person. Now, that nobody sees that her heart is no longer with her husband, she will cover her activities up. She will be very diligent and very correct in her dealings in her household. She will do everything super nice so that no one even gets the slightest suspicion that really her mind is somewhere else. Now, in the material world, in our civilization, this is really too much, you know. This is really, really bad. It's really low class. It's really something which shows a very bad character and so on. But strangely enough, this is used as an analogy how a devotee should keep himself in this world. He will do his worldly duties. He will be a good father, a good mother. He will be doing what is necessary. But in his mind, he is like that paramour, like that lady, always with the beloved, with Krishna. This is how he deals in this world. There was once a yogi who was meditating. It was deeply in the night. And he was meditating so well. Om Bhur Bhuvaha Svaha. Oh, he was really getting into it. Then all of a sudden he hears some steps in the forest. And he sees someone running down the forest path, and the lady, I'm sitting here, but the lady doesn't see him. She just runs over him. Boom! He falls on his back, and when he gets up, the lady is already 20 steps into the forest. He thought, what was that? She didn't even see me. And then after 3 hours or so, the same lady comes back from the opposite direction. This time she moves slowly, is very aware of her surroundings. She sees the yogi and she falls down on her hands and pays the obeisances. The yogi said, "What kind of person are you?" I'm paying my most humble obeisances to you, my great. You are a great saint." The yogi says, "Since when am I a great saint? When you came this path, you didn't even notice me and you ran over me. And now you are giving me all respect. What is this behavior?" Then she says, "Oh, sorry, I didn't notice you when I came." "What? I was sitting on the path and you ran against me. I didn't notice you." "Oh, what was going on in you?" Well, she says with a suppressed smile, I went to my lover who waited for me in a cottage nearby a river. And I spent time with him, and now I came back and I'm seeing you. And before that, I didn't notice you because my mind was totally somewhere else." And it is said in the scriptures that in that night, this yogi learned more about bhakti than he had ever learned before. He learned what is the meaning of bhakti. It is to become absorbed in Krishna. Forget about the somewhat difficult language of the examples which I have used. The example of Paramour love. In German we would say heimliche Liebe. Forget about this example because it might awaken the wrong sanskaras in you. It might awaken memories in you of pain and hurt and so on. But focus on what is said with this example. The example is that there is an absorption in the mind to a degree that the one who is absorbed forgets his external surroundings and becomes so much focused. Like the wife at home who's very focused and who's constantly remembering. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes about this. And with this, I will end. "Just as the woman who has become addicted to the love of another man continues to devote herself to her housework, remaining in the married state while passing her days in thinking of her lover and remembering the joys of union with him, a devotee similarly continues to observe the external rules and regulation pertaining to his vanashram duties, while internally, that is inside, relishing the flavor of Krishna's pastimes. He thus deceives the foolish. The service to the Lord rendered by such Vaishnavas," you know, what Vaishnavas again? Yeah, these Vaishnavas who are absorbed in Krishna while doing their activities in the Vanashram society perfectly. Huh? "The service to the Lord rendered by such Vaishnavas is the standard of what is meant by bhajan chaturyam." That means cleverness in worship. "Be clever, be intelligent, my dear devotees. Learn from Akura, who was staying even with a demon, who was doing everything and who was playing along the lines or the rules of that government, and who kept his feelings secret. He said, I will stay here because there is a foretelling that one day Krishna Balaram will come." Hare Krishna. I'm trying to find a prayer of Sanatana Goswami. You know, when I was giving this presentation in Vrindavan, one person said, I will not come to your presentation. I have come to all of your presentations, but I will not come to this presentation. I said, wow, were they so bad that you are not coming? No, they were good. I liked it very much. Okay, I said, well, why will you not come to this presentation? And the devotee said to me, I'm not coming to the presentation, your presentation, because you will talk about Akrura, who went to Vrindavan to take Krishna out of Vrindavan, away from all those who loved him the most. I'm not coming to hear how Akrura is taking Krishna away from Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. I don't want to hear what happened to the friends of Krishna when they saw Krishna's chariot disappearing in the horizon because Akrura took him away. I can't come to your class, Maharaji. I said, Hare Krishna, I think you misunderstand Akrura. No, Akrura is a rascal. He's very bad. And I said, then listen to this pranam mantra of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami highly praises this kind of determination, where one is ready to do anything, even stay with Kamsa, just to obtain one's goal. He pays his obeisance to Akrura by saying, I offer my obeisances to Akrura, who, just to see Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, served even the demon. Hare Krishna. Akrura is a very misunderstood figure. He's a figure like maybe you and me, and we are sometimes misunderstood. Because how can you see what is going on in the inside of a person just by judging his external activities? Don't we all sometimes feel misunderstood? We are doing external activities and we are judged by them. Like maybe one of you is working in a bank and everyone thinks you're an ordinary bank man. or someone sees you have just married and they think you are in they think something, I don't know what. Or they look at your hair and your hair is not exactly like the hair of everyone else. You know, and they think you are a difficult person. I think we all know this. We all are sometimes not like everybody else. Everybody else begins to criticize us. That is normal in this world. But Akrura teaches us to look maybe a little bit more careful before we so quickly judge another person. It is very necessary to look at the inside of Akrura, and to learn from Akrura's insight, to learn how he is yearning for Krishna. Tomorrow we will start this katha in all earnestness. We will begin to see how Akrura is traveling onwards on his journey, how he's meditating about Krishna. We might even meditate a little about Krishna. That's very nice, to meditate about Krishna like Akrura. And in this way, our life might become again filled with this sacred longing, which gives meaning to our life, which empowers our steps, which empowers us with the love in the heart, which we so much want. Hare Krishna. This was the first part. Thank you very much. Let me see if you have any questions regarding this kata or another kata. Yes, please. Ah, the father of the two daughters. Yes, Hare Krishna.
For your wonderful presentation. I got a little confused at the end. You explained so nicely about the meditation of the wife. She was doing everything perfect to cover her inner meditation. You made the example of the yogurt that was run over by ignoring completely the world around her.
Yeah. She ignored the world around. The first example which you heard was about someone who wanted to hide her secret feelings of love. The second example was highlighting eagerness. Not about someone doing everything perfectly, because she obviously did not do so well. She ran over a person. It was more about eagerness. That eagerness is the only prize, and it is part of Akrura's journey. It's part of the journey of the person in this world who wants to come to Krishna. That person is extremely eager to attain the Lord, and that is a very Rupa Goswami wrote a verse which Prabhupada says he took this verse very seriously, and he extracted one word from this verse and made this one word the motto of his movement. The verse says, if you can get Krishna somewhere, you must immediately purchase Krishna consciousness. If you can get Krishna consciousness somewhere, you must immediately purchase it. What is the price? Your eagerness. Eagerness becomes, in the beginning, it turns into longing, and this longing turns after some time into another word which Prabhupada used, anxiety, really. The eagerness to meet Krishna after some time turns into longing. You really, long for this. And after some time you feel anxiety. Oh, I have not yet attained it. I have not come. You become anxious. And this type of binding your heart to Krishna, ashabandha, that is required on the spiritual path. To bind our heart to Krishna, to become eager for Krishna, is only possible when we hear in the association of devotees about Krishna. You know, Krishna is sometimes called Madhusudan. Madhusudan is a bee who goes after the honey. What honey does Krishna, the Krishna bee, want? What is he looking for? He's looking for that eagerness in the heart of the devotee, this deep feelings of I want to attain you, my Lord, I want to come to you. That is the Krishna bee is looking for this honey. So they were two examples expressing two different things. But I'm very happy that you understood the example properly. I have sometimes thought about this example. It talks about something so immoral. I have often wondered, why is the highest expressed in this way, this indirect way? And I think it is there so that we begin to think very deeply about this. What does he want to say? This is appearing in a religious, ethical, moral writings of the Goswamis. What do they want to say? They want to really express a certain feeling of urgency which happens in such a situation where, just imagine Akrura. Just imagine. He had to see with his own eyes how Kamsa, when he heard that Krishna was somewhere else, not in the prison, how Kamsa, imagine, ordered his men and also some demons like Putana to go and kill all the newly born children. Imagine, he was a mantri. Mantri means a prime minister. He was responsible for such atrocity. He had to see with his own eyes how Kamsa's men violently stopped all sacrifices. He must have seen and heard a lot of torture. The acharyas explain that what Akrura had to see in order to prepare himself to meet Krishna was really intense. But do you know one thing? He used his political power so that Devaki and Vasudev were not tortured and not killed. And he also convinced Kamsa, that I heard from His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, that he wouldn't order his army to invade Braj and go for Nanda Maharaj. You know, so he did also, he protected the devotees of Krishna as good as he could. He was really an undercover man. Sometimes I feel while we are in this world, we are in a similar situation where we are surrounded with things which are not so nice. I'm thinking, for instance, of the milk. Some of my God brothers call this milk blood milk, you know, because of the way cows are treated to give this milk. I'm thinking of the many things, but therefore it is so important that we, in order to survive in this atmosphere, awaken our spiritual life, our inner life in earnestness. You can look at a devotee, or you can look at yourself, better yourself. If there's Krishna in your heart, you're full. If Krishna is not in your heart, you're empty. You have to look like this. This we learn from Akrura.